Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. If you're a visitor, I'm not the pastor. Please come back. We have a new vision coming up for the new year, and this will give pastor his last chance to get a little rest as we hit the street going for the new year and see what God has in mind. If you're there in Psalms 27, it says in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we come to you, Lord. We lift up our hands to you. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. We recognize that you are the way and the truth. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray if there is anyone here today that has not taken your son into their life, Lord, that today would be the day, Lord, the struggle would end. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me. Give me strength, Lord. Let the words come out that you intend. In your name, amen. In our passage, David is guided by God, and he puts this writing to us here. The essence of it, if you look back at verse 4, if you had to whittle everything down to the single point that is the reliance on everything that else happens with David. He says here in verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, circumstances are real. Life is a struggle. If you're here this morning and you've battled to find joy, peace, you have the trials of financial, your marriage struggles, all the things that can happen that get man down, I'm here to tell you, from the time of Adam, it has always been that way. There is no escape from that in this world. But David says, "But this one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that I may behold his beauty, his divine character, his kindness, his meekness, everything that makes God so divine and so special." I'll tell you what, you get into God's word and you start learning the divine God, you'll start honoring and glorifying him. Yea, you will praise him, you will sing. I could say from my own life that's happened. So if I had to title this message this morning, I would say, the one thing to desire. You know, desire comes with the idea of inquiring, to ask, to even beg. I'm sure every one of you has been a child and saw something good and you desired it and the begging began. And the parent had to say either no or give in. I tended to give in a little bit. But one thing. Here's the problem with desire in this world. You start to make a laundry list of desires in your life. It has been said that the more desires that you have, the less ability you will to accomplish any one of them. The devil of this world would like you to be confused and not focus certainly on the Lord. But think about what could happen in your life today. Even if you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning, you've got real struggles, you've got life problems, hardships. I have them. David had them. I mean, David lived a life at times in despair, in struggle, where he questioned where his next true friend was. Even unto death, he made his mistakes. The person to the left and right of you has had struggles. We're all in the same boat, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one in here that isn't experienced it. There's one in heaven who understands it. In our passage this morning, the one thing to desire. What if I told you there is a way to have peace, to have joy, to have the protection that you desired all of your life? The world has surrounded you. Haven't you tried enough of trying to fix things yourself in your life? I know I lived most of my young adult life trying to be the plugger of everything. Yes, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 15, but I didn't let him be in charge. I didn't trust him with everything. I got myself into problems, struggles, just like everyone else has. What if I told you there was one desire, one thing that you could do that could change your life forever? That you could finally have peace in your life. Because you came in here not having peace in your life, many of you. Many of you have come in here to check the block this morning. But some of us need this more than ever. If there was one thing that you could be thankful for, one desire, would have joy, peace, love. That's what the human nature desires. Yes, there's a lot of selfishness, but in truth, man has always desired it. Peace. You need only to have a desire for the Lord. David whittled it down to this one thing. If he could say in a nutshell, what was everything he says in all these other verses in the first six verses are all the bonus feature of what he said is his desire was. The reality is, I don't know for sure exactly the time frame this passage is talking about. There's speculation that this is reference to a time when he had gone on the run and Absalom was put in charge. But the reality is he's sharing both his experiences And he's sharing his confidence and courage that comes from his one desire. I mean, it really puts a new understanding, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We're always trying to do it on our own. That's man's way. The wife looks to the husband, the husband says, I got it. And then when she finds out he doesn't have it, well, that's another story. I mean, your kids, your husband looks at you and you say, I got it. And you know what? Usually they do. It's a miracle in itself. God blessed women to handle children. Paul whittled it down as well. In Philippians, I'm going to turn there real quick, because it's understanding. Sometimes we think too much. The world gets us spinning and going all kinds of directions. It says in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Sound familiar? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything we have otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto us. Look how he finishes here in verse 20. He says, for our conversation, our citizenship, where we want to be, where we are going to be, Paul is already on this earth living as if he's there. When was the last time that you started to put into work God and his house in your life, even though you're not there yet? Oh, brother, I'm stuck in the world. I'm stuck with all the problems I got. I don't have time right. Who was it in my my son was said, hey, I got this thing to help you sleep. And he says, I promise, you just need to set aside 30 minutes. And he says, this is life-changing. And my response was, son, right now until like Tuesday, I don't have 30 minutes. But I promise you I will. Take time for God. Take time. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be in fashion like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul was looking forward. Back here in Psalms 27, the question remains if David was even there at the time. When he says in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. By the way, the temple isn't built yet. There's still the tabernacle age here. But the idea is, even the experience and the relationship, he lived a life of desire. That's where I want to be. As far as I'm concerned, that's where I am. When we live in this life, live the idea that I am in the house of the Lord. For the body is the temple of God. You have the Holy Spirit within your life. You are at one and at peace with God through Jesus Christ right now. There's no reason to wait. Yes, I accepted Jesus Christ, but are you living for him? Are you trusting him? Do you have the peace and joy he intended you to have? If you're here this morning and this sounds foreign, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, he can take it all away today. The answers you seek are in Christ and him alone. Desire for the Lord. The first thing that we find here in this, in verse 4, in David's case, it was clear that they would commune with God. To commune with God. I use that word commune because it has a very refined dictionary understanding. It means the living together, sharing everything. Living together, sharing everything. We have that all in verse 4. He's your heavenly Father. What better way to have a relationship and fellowship than being with him? To be in his place. In David's day, his desire was to go into the secret places. You know, in the tabernacle, you had the holiest of holies where the mercy seat was, where the mercy of Jesus Christ is in your life. David desired to be there. Praise God, we have the hope of everlasting love of Jesus Christ. I love that song when she was singing it. If you listen to the words, all the struggles and everything that happens, he did it in spite. You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth because God loved us so much. In spite of the fact that some would reject him, he loved us so much. The answer to one thing of desire is to commune with him, to be in his home, to live with him, to share with him. If we're communing with him, we're dwelling in his house. David said that he desired to be in his household. All the things that are going on, that's where he desired, and he was yet living there. What is the evidence of that? Look in verse 1. To live in his house. The Lord is my light. It's personal. My. The illumination, the guide, the path. He is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The relationship in his dwelling, in his house, he was already there. He's my light. He goes on, he says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Not me, but his strength. These type of things are happening in his life because he's communing with God. He's living a life as if he's there with him already. Paul said the same thing. What does that do in your life when you know where you're going? You know that he's preparing a place for you, that he might come again and receive you unto himself. That where I am, there ye may be also. What does it say when the planning is already in place? You're already making the plans for me, God. I need to make plans for you. You know that because in the next thing we have, we learn of his divine character. We learn of his divine character. In the passage it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's where he wants to be. But he goes on and it says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To know his divine character. Why? It's why I honor and glorify the Lord in my own life. The more I understand of the character of God, he'll never break a promise. He has shown me salvation in spite of my sin. He's given me mercy in his home. He's shown me kindness in his actions. David reflects on the beauty of the Lord, and it only strengthens him. It brings about, if you were living today for the Lord and in his home, and understanding the character of the God that you glorify, the God that you praise in your life. I like this. Charles Spurgeon said concerning this divine character. He says, we need to learn more of the loving Father, more of the glorified Jesus, and more of the mysterious Spirit. Why? To see how great he is. To see the fashion in which he is created. To know that he can do anything for you. David said, this one thing do I desire. One thing. First, under communities, dwell in his house. Learn of his divine character. And finally, make inquiries of the Lord. David summarized these three things: to dwell in his home, to behold his beauty, and to inquire in his temple. Bible says, you know, that I know in part today, but someday I will know him as he knows me. I'm here to tell you that hasn't come yet. There's still much to learn of God. This very place that you're sitting this morning is a good start in that. To make inquiries, to beg if necessary, to have a desire in such a way to want to know him more. I need to live my life today as if I'm already with him. And here's the secret: you are. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, he is with you always. You cannot be plucked out of his hand. That is a promise of God. Many have testimonies in here just like I do, where they may have not accepted Jesus Christ, ignored it, or maybe you did, but that was as far as it went. You never got the promises that God intended for you while you were still in this life. Because you're not willing to let God reign in your life. I think I've shared before, you know, my dad used to frustrate me because, you know, he prayed about everything. He gave everything to the Lord to make decisions. And really, I was like, as a child, I was like, no, he's doing the praying to give him an extra 10 minutes to decide what he's going to do. You know. But here's the thing. Over the years and over time, I realized he was really praying to the Lord. I mean, he prayed about give my son good aim to kill a rat. It really happened. But that's the reliance that you and I, that's what Paul is talking about. Live a life as if you're already there. And don't assume that you know everything of God yet. Take it in. After Sunday school, I'm sitting with a couple people and we're enjoying taking in more of God. Yes, I got my beard trimmed yesterday and I sat with a man and I enjoyed hearing more things of God. To inquire, to learn of Him. To know why I honor and glory Him. There's a lot more to it though than that. So number one is to commune with Him. To make inquiries. Number two, confidence in His protection. I find it amazing. You know, confidence is something built. Think of the texture of confidence when we read this passage. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The difference between verse 1 and 2, verse 1 is more of the confidence. Verse 2 is the experience. When you put your faith and trust in Him, and you experience the power of God in your life, the confidence starts to raise. David, at this point, has a lifetime of experience of all the things that God has done for him. When was the last time that you trusted the Lord and allowed to experience what God can do for you? No, I got this, God. I'll work a second job. You know, no, I got this, God. I'll go make the world turn around again on my own. David's first eyewitness account of the experience of seeing God work, the power of God in his life. You could go on. He trusted, even the youngins know the story of Goliath. I mean, the odds were not in David's favor. When he was on the run from Saul, who wanted to kill him, when you think about the power of Israel at the time, the odds were not in his favor. But when he would put his trust in God, he would see the results. And now, after all of that, what does he say? The Lord is my light. I know this. I can count on him. He doesn't guide me wrong. He'll never guide you wrong. You may not like what you hear and the path he tells you to go down, but he's doing it for you. And my salvation. He is everything to you. He is your salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? You know, David, for all this kingship and all the things that was given to him, he did nothing in himself. His experience in faith and trust in God said, you know what, God? You're the strength of my life. It's because of you, nothing in me. There's power there. Confidence of his protection. He's my light. You know, another place it says, my morning sun, my everlasting light. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there for you. You can always count on God in your life. You could put all your worries and trust in Him. He will protect you. Look at our passage again in verse 5. He says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, his home, his house. You know, a king, if you think about it, a king has multiple areas. The most protected part of a king's home is that back little room where he sleeps. The most important place in the tabernacle was in the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, where the ark. David said, I long to be there. But this is a spiritual thing that he's talking about here. Look at our passage. Because the understanding of all this other things, he says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. An impenetrable force, fortress that he puts you in. He said, I'm not talking about a physical place here. But where the heart is, where the soul liveth. You sit here today and you struggle. And you're being persecuted. And all the things that are going on in your life are mad, in the world are mad. If you're one of those that thinks more on that realm. David says, he hides me in his pavilion. He puts me in the secret place of his tabernacle. He puts me where no man can touch me. Yes, the flesh, but not the heart, not the soul. And what does it bring? Peace and joy. The biggest thing for me is, look what he says in verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies. He's with me. You know what happens? A little bit of courage to face tomorrow starts to happen in your life. You say, how do these missionaries go over there knowing that they could be persecuted or even killed? The missionaries at the turn of the century that lost their lives. I can tell you, they communed with God. They dwelled in his house as if they were there. They gave it all. They inquired of him. They reflected. Their confidence was raised. They had the faith and trust all in God. And in return, instilled courage. Courage. Through his strength. How could you do it? I don't know. Maybe I need to spend a little more time in God's house to know a little bit more about my Savior, to know a little bit more about his promises in my life. If you're living today and you're struggling, I just put this to you. I petition you. I beg of you. Try another way. Go down the road of desiring the Lord again. Put him first. Oh, brother, I don't understand how. It's very simple. You've been in charge your whole life of you. How about letting him be in charge for once? How about seeking him and asking him in prayer for guidance in your life? Let his light so shine in your life. All the things of God. Paul said all of these things, and he said, this one thing have I desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, behold his beauty, and make inquiries in his temple. That is communion. And the byproduct that has happened here is that David's confidence is sure. And it's personal. It's not like I know now that he's going to protect us. No, he says, he is my light. He said, he is my salvation. He's my strength. It's personal. Finally, number 3. This desire for the Lord will bring comfort in his pavilion. You know, there are so many things. Look at verse 5. He says, "For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." What does all the protection of God in my life bring about? Comfort. It's something you've been striving for all your life. To have peace in tribulation. I'm saying while it's going on, to actually have peace in your life. To give it all up for him. Bring it on. My mother used to say, kill, Christian, kill. You know, when people would be rude to her, she just, you know, just kill them with love. Man, when you're living a life and you have the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life and you're living for him, anything can come your way. And you can have true comfort. If you're here this morning and you don't have the joy, you don't have the peace in your life, the one that David says would cause him to sing and give praise, you know, maybe this morning is the time to finally decide to pack up and get in his house. To live where he lives. To put your heart and trust and soul all in him. To get everything that he wanted. Look, you don't have to have all these, you know, problems and desires and ways to fix things. You could just have one answer. One desire. And that's Jesus Christ. And to live in his home. To look forward to the day when you will be with him. And to prepare along the way. Maybe this morning is your morning. We'll have the pianist come up this morning. And if you'll stand with me, bow your heads for a moment.